Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, there you are, and here I am, Bishop Randy Dean, here today with you again for this episode of the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love All Lesser Values, Our Potential BS. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming here on any occasion, whether it's every week or every so often. I appreciate the honor of your time, and I promise to give you my level best of what is cooking inside of this oven of my heart and what is cooking in this heart of mine in these last season of my life. I'm 67, and I count a season to be a 40-year period, so you just do the math. I'm in that last generation of my ministry, my heart, my life, and I want to go down in this life as being known as the Bishop of Love, the man who just pounded away with love. They say that if all you have is a hammer, then everything around you looks like a nail. I'm not quite that cynical about it, but I'll tell you what, all I really want to carry with me is love, and everything around me looks like a need for love to come at it. I'm going to go at a two-part broadcast this time, so if you listen in today, I hope you'll come back again next Saturday or Sunday and tune in, because this will take two times, a full hour, to discuss what's in my heart today about love. I believe that genuine love is too passionate for timidity. Genuine love, I mean love that is love, is too passionate for timidity. We've got to learn to surrender to the wild ride of love. Love is an uncertain thing. Love is not a compacted formula. It'll never be so predictable as to, be a formula or some kind of a equation. Love is far too passionate for that, and it's too passionate for timidity. I have spent most of my adult life exploring the notion of love because I came to be a believer, a Christian, because of love. Love is what captivated me. There was an old song that says, "Love lifted me." I can honestly say that's what got me to faith. I didn't start with faith. I started with love. Love carried me into faith. So I'm often puzzled by what seems to be to me in the 21st century a notion afoot amongst those of my fellow believers who seem to need people to believe something rather than to be loved by someone, to believe in a set of ideas and ideals, to believe in a certain political formula, to believe in a certain list of morals and righteousness, to believe in how you ought to conduct your life, rather than to simply be on the receiving end of love. So I have come to this point again, as I started this broadcast today, I've come to this point of saying that love is the answer, and I don't care what the question is. I'll put it that way. Love is too passionate for timidity. And to that end, so this next, today's broadcast and this weekend's broadcast and next weekend's broadcast, I want to talk about one of the notions that is very, very popular. I'm not seeking to discredit it. I'm not seeking to disprove it. I just want to unpack it. I want to look at it carefully. And that is the notion that we have to have, here it is, drum roll please. We have to have tough love. We have to have tough love. Another way that I've heard it said is that we speak the truth in love. Yes, we love people, but quote unquote, but we've got to speak the truth. So let's go after that a little bit. Again, my point in today is to tell you that love is too passionate for timidity. So if we say we got to have tough love, to me, that's an unnecessary qualification. It's completely unnecessary, because if love that is love is real love, and it is a love that is a working love, and an authentic, a rooted love, a love rooted in truth, or love rooted in reality, then that love is too timid. Excuse me, it's too passionate for timidity. There's no timidity in that kind of love. So to say that, well, yes, we love, but we have to have a, quote, tough love, I think that's redundant for me. I'm not saying you shouldn't say it. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be some kind of quality to pursue. I'm simply saying that I find it to be inadequate for me. It's inadequate for me to talk about walking about having a tough love. It would be like saying, I need real oxygen to be oxygen. I need oxygen to be oxygenated. It's either oxygen or it's not, you know, or to say, boy, if I'm going to have a sirloin steak, I need that steak to be sirloin. You get what I'm saying? It's redundant. It's unnecessary to put it in that category. A sirloin steak is a sirloin steak is a sirloin steak. Boy, now I'm hungry. So to say we need a tough love, for me, that's redundant. Love is tough. Love that is love is too passionate for timidity. Love that is love is far too secure for it to be anything less than what it really is, and that is, it is love. Love is love is love is love. So that when we are going about our life and we're saying, well, I'm going to love people, but, well, I've learned for me, and I'm offering this to you to consider, I've learned for me that I don't say, I'm going to love you, but. I really don't go there. For me, it's, I'm going to love you. So in that phrase, for me, there's the passion that is love that's going to cook inside of me towards someone or something or some project or some relationship. Love is going to be love is going to be love is going to be love for me, and I'm going to explore it for all that it's worth. I'm a voracious reader. Anybody that knows me knows that I have way too many books for any one person. I'm like a lot of book addicts out there. If I see a book that I think looks good, baby, if I've got any chance to get that book, I'm going to put that book in my possession. And that is the bane of my life. And for those who have to live with me, such as my sweet and dear wife, she knows that I've just got way too many books. So I go after books, not so much to always read them from cover to cover, but because if there's a page or two or a chapter or some phrase or some subject that is researched in it, I want that in a permanent place in my life. So for all of my life, since I came to my Christianity through love, for all of my life, if there's a book on love, if I see something about love, I grab that book. I want that book in my possession, because I'm looking for how others have unpacked the beauty and the significance, the value and the power of love. I must tell you, and now this isn't an exhaustive research on my part. I'm no statistician or researcher at that level. But just on my own experience in the Randy Dean sphere of research, I have not yet found any book on the subject of love that has satisfied me cover to cover. I have found some pieces and parts and chapters and quotes here and there that do match what it is that's burning in my soul. But I have to tell you, I have found that far too many, and especially as it relates to people of faith, people of the Christian persuasion, I found far too many far too many books on the subject of love that are they're still wanting. They're still not quite there. My mind, my soul, my psyche is hungry for the real subject of love to be explored. So that's why I'm here. The No BS Bishop, alive to love. All lesser values in life are potential BS. So, to say tough love, that's my opening salvo for this broadcast today. To say tough love is a redundant phrase, because in the reality of love, as I can see it, in that reality of love, love is enough. Love is the only credible power. that if I have to put tough in front of it, then it seems to me that that is an inadequate evaluation of love. It seems that for me, if I have to say I'm going to give you some tough love, then I haven't really truly embraced the power and the essence, the transcendency of what love genuinely is. So I want to go to the pinnacle of Scripture as it relates to the subject of love. And I hope you would know what that is, but if you don't, that's okay. 1 Corinthians, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter often read in weddings. Beautiful for a wedding. It's absolutely magnificent. It applies there. But it was not written to a married couple. The Apostle Paul did not sit down writing, making sure he had a great wedding ceremony to prepare for. And he came up with, oh, we better talk about love since we're getting a couple married here. No, the Apostle Paul was dealing with a chaotic situation in the baby, adolescent church of Corinth. The adolescent church of Corinth trying to find its footing. I understand their struggle. I've been there. I was a adolescent person of faith in my life. So here's the church in Corinth. They're struggling with the spiritual gifts. They're struggling with moral issues. They're struggling with relationships and how do we manage them and how do we deal with marriage and how do we deal with death and how do we, you know, there's so much. There's so much that they were trying to work through, and they were influenced by a myriad of spiritual influences around them. Not quite not unlike where we all live today in the United States of America, isn't that right? Just pressured by a lot of influences. We're trying to find our way. So the Corinthian church was trying to find their way. And smack in the middle of Paul's apostolic instruction, I don't know so much as see his words as a rebuke. Some people do, but I see it more as a father. And he calls himself a father, a mother, in fact. He said, I came to you as a parent to nourish and to challenge you and to give you the very food that would keep you alive. Paul said these words, and I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because for me, the words from the Message Bible have so much passion. So let me read it for you. 1 Corinthians 13, as he speaks to a church struggling to find its way, Paul said, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. But we know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete comes, our incompleteness will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't see things clearly yet. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, Until that completeness, we have three things to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the highest and best of these three is love. Boy, I just thoroughly enjoy that. I mentioned a sirloin steak earlier. This Message Bible version of 1 Corinthians 13 is a sirloin steak cooked to perfection. That last verse, let me read it again. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things that will lead us toward consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. You see, my purpose in this broadcast and then going into next week is to challenge the notion, if for nobody else but myself, is to challenge the notion that we need tough love. I would propose we simply need love. As Paul says it here, that we would love extravagantly, that there would be an extravagance of love. So love in itself is extravagant. Love in itself is costly. Love in itself is broad and wide and deep. Love in itself is tough all by itself. I don't have to define love as tough because love is tough. Love is all of the things that 1 Corinthians 13 described here. It's not strutting. It's never out for others, for itself over others. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't say me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Isn't keeping a score of others' wrongs. So you see, in itself, love all by itself, without no other qualifications. Love is enough. Love alone is credible. Love alone is that which we pursue. And then that chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about until the completeness comes. I see that the completeness is the completeness of a revelation, the completeness of a full apocalyptic unveiling of what real truth is in love, that love would find its full expression and purpose in us, that we would be known. You know, Jesus said one time, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love. Not if you have the right apologetics, not if you have the right doctrine, not if you have all the right moral patterns in your life, that you live in upright self-righteousness. No, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love. Love is that key. There's no arguing that we will be good people. There's no arguing that we'll know right and wrong. There's no arguing that we're going to have some form of morality. There's no arguing that. I'm not here to tell you should be an immoral person. Oh my goodness, that would be ridiculous. But what I know is that love gets me to all of those qualities. Love gets me to all the things that I say I need. I need to be righteous. Well, love will get you there. I got to have a moral existence. Okay, well, love will get you there. I've got to make the right choices. You bet. I want to make all the right choices. And love will get me there. I don't want to fail to speak the truth. Okay, then walk in love and you'll speak the truth even without words. Sometimes you might even have words if you love, because love will be the full statement, the full and complete composition of your faith and what your expression of a Christian ought to be. So love is all the qualities that any of the aforementioned things involve. I'm always on top of myself. I'm probably harder on me than anybody else could ever be on me. You know, when people critique me, I'm aware of their critique. I don't like critique anybody any more than anybody else. But I know this: you can't critique me more than I critique myself. You cannot criticize me more than I'll criticize myself. And what I have found is that I'm not looking for people to tell me how to do something better, because I'm always looking for a better way to do what I do. I wish on any given day it was a good 50-50 proposition that I did everything better, but I know it's not. But I know this, that if I will make love my goal, love for life, love for human beings about me, love for the work that I do, love for the people in the work that I do, love for the nature that I'm surrounded by, whether it's summer, spring, fall, or Wisconsin winter. Love is that one thing that holds my life together. And if I fail, if I fall, if I stumble, what I know is I've stumbled in love, because love is the foundation of how I function. And I also know that if somebody around me needs a truth, if they need a correction, if they need some kind of mentoring, if a person about me is looking for my instruction as to how to be a better human being, a better pastor, just a better mom, a better dad, what I know is that that better happen, that needs to happen when that person is expressing love. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, I could be a martyr. Now listen, you can't be any more of a moral human being than to be martyred for your belief systems. If I were to be a martyr and I have not love, you hear what he's saying? He's suggesting that even martyrdom might be done in lovelessness. He said, if I don't have love in my own martyrdom, well, then it is nothing. He also talked about, I like the Message Bible expression of moving mountains. Get up, mountain, jump. If I say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love in the middle of that, he said, big deal. Well, there you have it. See, so the proposal that I'm working with here today, and then I'll carry on through next week, that proposal is for us to determine that we need tough love is a redundant approach. Love is love is love is love, or it isn't love. Love really knows everything it needs to know. If love were a living organism, love would be God. And God is love. And those who dwell in God dwell in love. And those who dwell in love dwell in God. The full circumference of who God is love. If you want to know what's going to happen after this life is over and you go into the next, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to meet love. Love will greet you. Love, the eyes of the God of love will be looking square into your eyes. If you could imagine a love that is more extravagant, more voracious and passionate than you have ever seen or known before, well, that will be the love you will meet when your eyes open on the other side of this life. You will see a love that perhaps you have never even dreamed of in your wildest fantasies. Love that is love is too passionate for timidity. And to surrender to love is to surrender to a wild ride of a roller coaster that you never know when the next drop is coming, and you never know when the next corner is coming, but it's a wild ride that'll keep you hollering and yelling and jumping for joy, because this is a love that is a power beyond any power most of us have ever experienced. Well, that's the extent of today's broadcast. Come back again next week, because I want to continue this discussion with you about learning love without needing some qualification for it or some preamble to it. I'm going to love you, but no. That isn't necessarily a preamble, but a postamble, if that's such a thing. Love that is love is love is love. And that's where we'll continue next week. But as I close today, I'm going to ask you to join me once again in an exercise, if you will. It's a purpose that you should really, this is practice. I'm not saying that what I'm about to do with you is going to cover what you need to do, but it's practice. It's rehearsal. It's a rehearsal for how to live life in a healthy way. Obviously, live life in love. And as you love, there's some self-love that needs to go on. There's some self-care that needs to go on. And when you self-care, you are always aware that there's a need for love in your life. Always. Nobody's as loved as they ought to be or need to be. We're all in pursuit of love that will go to the depths of us, to the heights of us, and to the widths of all that we are. So practice this with me, all right? This is practice. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Now draw in a breath of love, the love of God coming at you. Here it comes. Come on. And hold it. Exhale. Thank you, God, for love. Oh, wow. I want you to hear from me three words that you are desperate to hear every day. Every day you want these three words coming at you. Here they are. I love you. If there was a way through radio, maybe someday through technology, we'll discover a way to make radio more full of a capacity for the human experience of smell and vision. I suppose that may be television, but right now on the radio, I can't look you in the eye, but I can give you as much as I know how and call you to as much attention as I dare to call you, and I can say those three words that I know you need to hear. I love you. This life was made to be the cradle of love, to carry us from birth to eternity in the arms, in the expression of love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm a no BS bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. I want to call upon you to go out from here today. Go out and do something beautiful in this world because, oh, baby, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today. Come back next week for part two of this discussion.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.